Chapter 4. By the time she had finished talking to Francis, Millie was calm enough to become a human again, but she waited to do it until she had returned home. She was going to fly through her chamber window and change there, but when she saw that a maid was in the room packing gowns into a small trunk, Millie swerved away and went looking for somewhere private. No one was in the sheltered niche behind the stables, so she changed back into her human form in the dust under old cobwebs and was on her way into the castle when she heard the clatter of wheels crossing the drawbridge. Curious, Millie turned back to the courtyard and was surprised to see the elegant carriage belonging to Zoe's family slow to a stop. A moment later, Zoe stepped out of the carriage, holding the hands of her two younger brothers.
"Millie, isn't it exciting?"
Zoe said as she hurried over to join her friend. The two little boys with pale blonde hair ran to keep up.
"We're going to Upper Monte Vista with you. Papa needs to start his annual visit to all the relatives, so when your mother's invitation came, he decided that we should all go. I can't wait to see your grandparents' castle." "I am so glad you're coming," said Millie, giving her friend a hug. "I hated the idea of having my party without you."
Three carriages belonging to her own family rumbled across the stones of the courtyard, which was suddenly bustling with activity as trunks were loaded and the other travelers arrived. Millie was happy that her grandparents, King Limelin and Queen Chartreuse, were going, but she was thrilled when Francis and his parents appeared. "We got your mother's invitation right after you left," Francis told her. "I packed all my stuff in an acorn I bought at the Magic Marketplace. You'd never believe what you can fit in one of those things. Say," he said, squinting into the shadows beneath the wall of the keep, "is that great-grandfather?" Millie yelped and ran to greet the ghosts of her great-grandparents, who had come to say goodbye along with some of the other castle ghosts who were her friends. Although they were hard to see in the shadows, they would have been nearly invisible in the bright daylight, which was one of the reasons they rarely ventured out of the dungeon during the day.
"We heard that you were going to Upper Monte Vista," said her great-grandmother. "We hope you have a wonderful time."
"I'm so sorry you won't be able to come to my party," said Millie. "I really wanted to have it here."
"We can't understand why Frizella would make you have it at her castle," said a ghost named Sir Jarvis.
"Just be careful on the road," said King Aldred. "There were bandits on the way to Upper Monte Vista when I was alive."
"Don't worry, great-grandfather," Millie said. "My parents chased the bandits away years ago. I'm sure we'll be fine."
A shadow passed overhead. Terrified, the horses harnessed to the carriages began to rear and scream. Men were rushing to control them when a familiar voice called hello.
"It's Ralph,"
Millie said as a 12-foot-long blue dragon landed on the cobblestones. Emma was reciting a spell to calm the horses when two more dragons landed in the courtyard behind the first. Although the red dragon was huge at nearly 20 feet, the blue-black dragon was the biggest of all. Over 35 feet long, it had deep-set eyes that could make even the bravest knights quake. Millie wasn't afraid of any of them. Ralph's parents had often looked after her when she was a baby. They were like a second family to her.
"Ralph, Flame Snorter, Grumble Belly," she cried, flinging her arms around Ralph's neck before running to hug the others. "Are you coming to Upper Monte Vista too?"
"Upper Monte Vista? Why would we go there?" asked Ralph. "We stopped by to see if you wanted to go swimming in the ocean with us before your party."
"Oh, Ralph, I'd love to," Millie exclaimed, "but I can't today. We're going to Upper Monte Vista for my birthday. We're having my party there this year."
"Really?" said Ralph. "Can we go too?"
he asked, turning to his parents. His mother shook her head.
"Sorry, Ralph, but you know how Millie's other grandmother feels about dragons. She told her archers to shoot us the next time we drop in." "I'm sorry, Ralph," said Millie. "I was supposed to have my party here, but there's been a change in plans."
"That's okay," he said,
but his ears drooped and his ridge went limp.
"Maybe I should give you your present now. Here."
Reaching under his wing, Ralph pulled out a small leather sack tied shut with a silver cord.
"Thank you, Ralph," she said. "This is so sweet of you."
Millie pulled open the drawstring and removed a handful of bright-colored crystals, holding them up so everyone could see.
"What are they?"
"We found them in a cave. You eat a couple before you flame, and they make your fire come out a different color. They're really crunchy and kind of sweet,"
Ralph said, licking his lips.
"Thanks," said Millie. "I'll have to try them next time."
Her parents gave each other worried looks.
We should go now, Ralph,
Flame Snorter said.
Millie's family is going on a trip, and we're keeping them from getting started.
Goodbye, everyone, said Grumblebelly. Ralph?
I'm coming, said Ralph, spreading his wings wide. Happy birthday, Millie,
the dragons shouted as they took to the air.
Thank you,
Millie replied, waving with one hand while holding onto the side of a carriage with the other. As the dragon family took off, the wind their wings created blew the green pennants off the lower towers, knocked over a half-filled water barrel, swept a young page off his feet, and destroyed the carefully arranged hairdos of all the ladies present.
They would have to come now, said Queen Chartreuse as she straightened her clothes.
Is everyone ready? Prince Edric asked. Millie, I need to talk to you. He waited while she walked around the toppled water barrel before saying, Your mother has come up with a marvelous spell that will take all our carriages to Upper Monte Vista in just a few hours. You'll be traveling with your mother and me. We have something we want to discuss with you.
But Zoe and Francis,
Millie began, are traveling with their own parents, interrupted her father. Go get in. We're about to leave. She had started for the carriage when her mother cried,
Millie, watch out for the horses.
A groom was walking a fresh pair of horses to her grandparents' carriage. They were only a few yards from Millie when they smelled her. With flaring nostrils and frantic eyes, the horses tossed their heads and backed away from Millie. She hurried to her parents' carriage and climbed in, shutting the door behind her. Horses had never liked Millie. Her mother said it was because she had so much dragon in her. Horses could smell her dragon side even when she hadn't been one for a long time. They refused to go anywhere near her. Unlike most princesses her age, Millie had never learned how to ride. When everyone else was ready, Emma and Edric climbed into the carriage with their daughter. Millie loved hearing her mother's spells, so she listened eagerly while Emma recited the one she had made up just for the trip.
Horse and carriage, you'll now speed through the countryside. Take us to Frazella's home with the smoothest ride. Slow to a more normal pace when people are around. Then hurry up until we fly over rock and ground. Get us there before the sun sets on this lovely day. Take the shortest route you can, neither stop nor stray.
The carriage lurched as the horses started out, then settled into a pace so fluid that Millie had to look out of the window to see if they were really moving. They were already outside the castle walls by then, and when she looked down, the ground was hurtling past. Sliding off her seat, Millie leaned out of the window to see the horses. They were running just as they normally would, but the ground itself seemed to be rushing under their hooves.
I wish we could fly there, Millie told her parents as she returned to her seat. It would be so much simpler.
Her mother was idly gazing into the far-seeing ball that she always wore on a chain around her neck. Glancing at Millie, she let go of the chain and said,
Maybe we'll be able to in a few years, but the people of Upper Monte Vista still expect to see us travel like royalty. They accept my magic much more than they used to. It's just that they still aren't ready to see us arriving on a flying carpet. Besides, your father and I wanted to talk to you, and the wind can be so loud when we fly.
Edric cleared his throat and said, You know we love you very much, and we think you're wonderful just the way you are.
What have I done wrong now?
Millie asked.
Nothing. It's just that we want you to be careful while we're visiting your grandparents. Please try very hard not to lose your temper. We've done our best to keep your grandmother from hearing about, you know.
You mean that I turn into a dragon? I know that's why we visited them only a few times. I figured that out years ago. But how have you kept them from hearing about it from other people?
Emma couldn't quite meet her daughter's eyes as she said,
I cast a spell when you were just a baby. If anyone who wasn't a friend or part of the family came near you, he was struck dumb if he tried to tell someone new about the way you change. Unfortunately, there isn't a thing we can do about it if your grandmother actually sees you, which you must try very hard not to let happen. There were certain things we still can't do around Frazella.
She likes fairy magic, Edric reminded Millie. For some reason, my mother finds fairies fascinating. It's gotten so she can't seem to get enough of them.
That's true, said Emma, but she doesn't like it when I turn into anything.
I had to become a dragon the day of our wedding because the trolls attacked the castle, said Millie.
I know. I've heard the story.
Emma nodded. And ever since then, I don't dare turn into anything when your grandmother is around. She became hysterical during one of our visits a few months later when she saw me turn into a hawk. She threatened to outlaw witches in Upper Monte Vista.
Which she could never do, said Edric. Not with all the witches my father has helping his soldiers now.
But she could make it uncomfortable for them again, said Emma. And that's why you don't want her to know that I become a dragon, too. It's not like I do it on purpose, said Millie.
Which might frighten her even more. Uncontrolled magic would probably terrify her. All we're asking you to do is try hard not to lose your temper, which I know is very difficult at times.
I'll do the best I can, said Millie.